So this morning, just before we came on air, I spoke to the director of the Public Prosecution Service, Barra McGrory. Let's hear this interview in full. You will be aware then of the public debate around abortion law in Northern Ireland. Why have we not heard from you until now?
Well, I think really in the context of the issue of policy documents and guidelines and so forth, I know that I've been mentioned on your programme, but PPS has a range of policy documents on specific areas of crime, Stephen, which are published, such as hate crime and human trafficking and so forth, which was published only in the last few days. We also have a considerable number of internal guidance documents for our prosecutors, and we have the code for prosecutors. But this issue of abortion in terms of criminality hasn't really arisen, certainly in my time in the PPS. But it has now, of course, erupted in this way in terms of public debate because of the issuing of the DHSS guidelines. But we have not so far been engaged in this issue. We have no files on the matter. We've had no complaints on the matter. So, but I'm taking a keen interest in the discussion that's ongoing.
When the Department of Health issued those draft guidelines, were you not consulted at all?
No, we weren't. That's for the Department of Health. I'm not in any way criticising the minister in this regard.
Should you?
He has. No, that's for the minister. The minister has his own legal advisors, whom I'm sure were consulted. But Director of Public Prosecutions and the Public Prosecution Service are there to deal with specific complaints which are sent to us by the police following investigation. So I'm not in any way concerned about that or critical about that. But there clearly is now some considerable public interest in the issue, and the minister has now said publicly, and indeed I've received a letter from him yesterday asking to meet me to discuss the matter. So
just yesterday?
Yes, but just yesterday, yes.
So can you make it very clear this morning then? Because this is a matter of public interest, public clarity. And, you know, we don't have people throwing bricks at each other not caring about the law. We have people contacting this programme saying, I want to abide by the law. What is the law? Which is why it's good that you're in this studio this morning engaging with the public. So in what circumstances is it illegal in Northern Ireland to have an abortion?
That is not something I'm going to discuss in the airwaves, because these issues are really case specific. And there are two areas here, though. There's the question you've just asked me, which is not something that I'm going to go into in a hypothetical way.
Will you submit it?
Well, I'm going to talk to the minister about what he wants to put in his guidelines, and I'm sure he'll take on board my views on that matter in terms of the generality of the criminal law. But it would be wholly inappropriate to pick a hypothetical situation. I don't think that is going to be particularly helpful. There's the other area which has been touched on, of course, which is the circumstances in which anyone might be criminally liable if they give help or assistance or advice to someone who seeks to go to England to have a lawful abortion.
It's called a grey area in the draft guidelines.
Well, it is. I noticed that, but I think they are draft guidelines, and I'm sure that's something which I will touch upon in my conversations with the minister. But I have to say, having looked at that, it's difficult to see circumstances at all in which anyone who gives advice or assistance to someone going to England to do something which is perfectly lawful there, falling foul of the criminal law in this jurisdiction. I know of no criminal offence which would be committed in those circumstances.
So that I understand this, it is legal to have an abortion under many circumstances in England. Where it is legal to have that abortion, do you commit an offence if you go with someone from Northern Ireland to England? You're saying you know of no circumstances where that could be an offence.
No, you can't aid or abet, counsel and procure something which is not an offence. So it's not something which I have even considered is relevant necessarily to the criminal law. Those particular circumstances that you're talking about.
So have you discussed this within the DPP?
Well, obviously this has erupted this controversy has erupted in recent weeks or recent days, and it's something which we indicated we would have a look at.
So what you're saying to me is you know of no law that would criminalise someone promoting or advocating abortion in England?
It depends on the circumstances. The circumstances in which you're talking of these very tragic cases where individuals have felt it necessary to travel to England to have an abortion because of serious fetal abnormality. In those circumstances, I can envisage no situation where someone giving them advice or assistance in that regard would fall foul of the criminal law.
So if I can...
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
There is no criminal offence of aiding and abetting, counselling or procuring someone to have what is a lawful abortion in England. We can see no circumstances in which anyone would fall foul of the criminal law in that regard. You can't aid and abet, counsel and procure something which is not a crime. So in our law, in our criminal law. So those are, you know, for that reason, Stephen, I would find it very difficult to envisage any circumstances in which those involved in these tragic cases of fetal abnormality where they have felt it necessary. These are matters for the health professionals to discuss with their own authorities.
Okay.
And, you know, the minister has said that he's going to come and talk to me about my views of the application of the criminal law to these difficult and sensitive matters. And that's the way I would like to leave it. I mean, the airwaves are not the place to discuss sensitive and difficult matters in detail or in specifics.
You see, the Royal College of Midwives have said the following, and I'm just trying to explain why I'm asking this question. The tone and language used throughout the document is intimidating and threatening, both for women and for healthcare professionals. Now, I know you're not going to get drawn into that, but you will understand why I'm trying to seek broad clarity beyond an individual case.
Well, look, that's a matter for the healthcare professionals to address within their consultative process.
Do you think in writing any guidelines in Northern Ireland, are you sure, given the situation we have here, this has had a chilling effect, according to some of these groups, these draft guidelines, are you sure you shouldn't be involved in writing them?
No, not in the least. Not in the least. As I say, the Department of Health has the Departmental Solicitor's Office to advise them on these matters. It is not for me to get involved.
Okay, so what happens next and what's the timeline?
Well, I think the minister has indicated he'd like to talk to me about it. My office and his office will make those arrangements.
How soon?
At his convenience. As soon as he's able to talk to me, I'm happy to talk to him. But my role in this is simply to inform him of my view of circumstances where the criminal law might or might not be engaged in order to assist him in the formulation of his guidelines. And I think that is the appropriate way to deal with it.
And does it need a test case? Because I've been nearly shouting on the airwaves about what Keir Starmer has and hasn't done in the Crown Prosecution Service across the water, in that he issued guidance on assisted suicide for clarity. Does it need a test case in court to establish the law, or is the part of the role, part of your responsibility as the Director of Public Prosecutions, to confirm to people in Northern Ireland and direct them as to what the law is? How does this work?
Yes, I'm aware that the CPS in England have issued guidelines in a number of areas following the assisted suicide case, as a consequence of which they were directed to do so by the House of Lords because of the difficulties and sensitivities around that particular criminal offence. But if I may say so, there's a very different situation here, because assisting suicide is an offence in itself, which was created in 1961. We're talking about an entirely different scenario here. So it's a very complex area of the criminal law, and I am not sure it would be particularly helpful to the public to start issuing documents which address hypothetical situations. We have not had any cases of this in Northern Ireland, so any reports from the police or any specific issue that has arisen. So,
which brings me back to that question. Is it your responsibility to direct people and clarify what the law is, or is that the responsibility of a court, and do we have to wait for a test case?
Well, I don't think anybody's necessarily waiting for a test case, Stephen. The law is the law. It's for
the draft guidelines.
The
draft guidelines talk about the fact that there is a grey area in which, pending clarification by the courts, the lawfulness of such conduct would have to be regarded as uncertain. So the draft guidelines, which presumably solicitors or some lawmakers somewhere have assisted the minister in writing, they talk about the lawfulness of such conduct would have to be regarded as uncertain pending clarification by the courts. So is it your role or is it the court's role?
Look, Stephen, I'm not going to get involved in a discussion about the appropriate language or otherwise in guidelines. So the minister's going to come and see me to talk about it.
Is it your role to clarify the law or the court's? Because that's not an unfair question, is it?
No, it's not an unfair question, but I don't think it's my role to clarify the law on over the airwaves.
Okay. What is your message to the public? Maybe I can set this out. Here we have a situation, and you can answer this as you will, with a general message to the public. We currently have a situation in which Sinn Féin are saying abortion on the grounds of fetal abnormality may be lawful in Northern Ireland, and we currently have the Department of Health draft guidelines saying fetal abnormality is not recognised as grounds for termination of pregnancy in Northern Ireland. So what is your message to the public this morning as a key player in this discussion?
No, it's not appropriate, Stephen, for me to be talking about specifics like that on the airwaves. What I've come to say to you is that I am happy to be consulted as the Director of Public Prosecutions by the Minister, which he has indicated he will do, on the issue of criminal liability in this very difficult and sensitive area of the law. And I will have those conversations in following examination of the legal principles and on mature reflection and in consultation with the minister. So I think that's the best way to deal with this.
And would guidance then be issued by you or the minister, or what will happen ultimately?
It could be that my views are reflected in the minister's guidance, or it may be considered necessary for us to put out a separate document. That's something which I would like to discuss with senior colleagues in the Public Prosecution Service and to discuss with the Minister of Health. And I think that's the appropriate way to deal with that particular question, if you don't mind.
We really appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much.